Good morning. Today's scripture comes from Psalm 26. Vindicate me, Lord, for I have led a blameless life. I have trusted in the Lord and have not faltered. Test me, Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind. For I have always been mindful of your unfailing love and have lived in reliance on your faithfulness. I do not sit with the deceitful, nor do I associate with hypocrites. I abhor the assembly of evildoers and refuse to sit with the wicked. I wash my hands in innocence and go about your altar, Lord, proclaiming aloud your praise and telling of all your wonderful deeds. Lord, I love the house where you live, the place where your glory dwells. Do not take away my soul along with sinners, my life with those who are bloodthirsty, in whose hands are wicked schemes, whose right hands are full of bribes. I lead a blameless life. Redeem me and be merciful to me. My feet stand on level ground. In the great congregation, I will praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Good, good. When fall rolls around each year, it reminds me that, are you ready for this? The holidays can't be far behind. Ooh. And there was a murmur in the crowd. And when I think of the holidays, here's a big surprise. I think of food. All the wonderful food and the smells of the wonderful food around our tables during the holidays. Pumpkin pie and Brussels sprouts and oyster dressing and turnip greens and ham or turkey. Making anybody hungry? And like Pavlov's dog, it just seems to start the juices flowing, doesn't it? And our stomachs start growling because we just can't wait for dinner. I wish you'd all could be up here with me this morning and smell all this wonderful bread that is on our table. And you'll notice that I've got a little bit of bread from a lot of different countries reminds us of World Communion. We got French baguettes. We have ciabatta, Italian ciabatta. We've got challah, Jewish braided bread. We have French croissant. We have pita bread. We have Asian flatbread. And we have tortillas as well. So just as a reminder that today is World Communion Sunday. And the smell of this bread will get your juices flowing too as we think about the special meal that we'll be sharing in just a few moments. All this bread and talk about food reminds me of the meals that we had at home as a kid in Selbyville. Whenever dinner was ready, Mom would always say, "Supper's ready. Go and wash your hands now." Mom knew that Rick and I, my brother and I, were probably been out playing in the yard or riding our bikes or playing football or baseball outside, and before we ate, she knew that we needed to wash our hands. I hope we always wash our hands before we eat. Well, Jesus himself has set a table for us today, a happy meal, if you will. And to this happy meal, Jesus is calling us, supper's ready, come to the table. But we too need to wash not only our hands, but also our hearts as we gather at this table, Jesus' table. Now, in today's scripture that Ray read for us from Psalm 26, the writer of this psalm sounds like someone who's really got it together, doesn't it? Someone who sounds almost too good to be true. I mean, after all, he says things like, I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. I do not sit with the worthless, and I wash my hands in innocence. This psalmist could never be accused of being shy, could he? He's really tooting his own horn. It's believed, though, that this psalm was written by David. And for any of you that know anything about King David, David was far, far from innocent, far from not being guilty of sin. But I think what he's trying to do here, I think he's trying to turn to God for affirmation. He's confident in his faith, but only to a point. Without God to validate his thoughts and actions, this psalmist is really really insecure and unsteady. His faith that's been steady up to now can very easily unravel, and he knows it. I'm drawn to the verse that says, I wash my hands in innocence and go about your altar, O Lord. Before we come to this table and partake of this meal, we need to have clean hands and clean hearts. The Bible urges us that as we partake of this meal, that we examine ourselves beforehand to see if there's any, to use an expression from the walk to Emmaus, any obstacles to grace. Any obstacles like some sin in our life, some attitude, something that is a stumbling block to having full communion with God today or with one another. This is why we offer confession prior to communion, to cleanse our hearts, to think about those things that may be interfering with our relationship with God and with one another. I just want to say a word about communion. We don't talk about the act of communion and what we do here every month. We as United Methodists believe in something called an open table. Now, what does that mean? It means that you do not have to be a member of the church to partake of communion. Not in the Methodist church. This is why the children are welcome to come to this table and to receive the bread and the juice. In fact, we as United Methodists see communion as a means of grace. A means of grace. Communion represents the prevenient, the justifying, and the sanctifying grace of God. We see it as an opportunity for someone who may not be in relationship with God at all. In that moment, as they are partaking of the love of God through these tangible elements, their eyes may be opened, and they may receive the love and the forgiveness of Christ in that moment. This holy sacrament is where Jesus meets us all, sinners and saints, just as we are, and gives us grace for the spiritual journey. That's why it's an open table. Everyone is welcome at Jesus' table. Here at Bethel and in most United Methodist churches, we celebrate communion once a month. There are some churches that only have communion every 3 months or quarterly. There are some churches that celebrate Holy Communion every time they gather. Could be weekly, could be 3 or 4 times a week. But today is World Communion Sunday. The only time all year that we as Christians from around the world gather together and celebrate and remember what Jesus did for us all on the same day, on the same Sunday. Isn't that incredible? And even though we take communion monthly, there is still the danger that we might take it for granted. I wonder, as you come down these aisles and as you come to the stations and receive that piece of bread and dip it in the cup, I wonder if you think about the implications of this holy meal and the impact it has and what it means for us as God's people. So before we take communion today, I'd like for us to take a closer look at this Lord's Supper. You see, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he and his disciples were celebrating not Holy Communion, but what? Passover. It was a Jewish high holy day. They were around the table celebrating Passover. And then at some point during the meal, Jesus says something incredible. One of you will betray me. One of you will betray me. And one by one, the disciples questioned Jesus. Surely it is not I, is it, Lord? But then, when he comes to Judas, Judas says, surely it is not I, is it, Rabbi? Did you notice the difference? All the others said, Lord. Judas said, Rabbi. The other disciples referred to Jesus as Lord, while Judas referred to him as Rabbi. A disciple is less likely to betray his Lord than his teacher. And Jesus, as we know, is much more than a teacher. He is Lord. And as Lord, Jesus is the only one who is worthy to say and do what comes next in this meal. Jesus took bread from the table. He gave thanks for the bread. He broke the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you." He used bread, ordinary table bread, to symbolize his soon-to-be broken body, broken on the cross. I don't know about you, but I can just picture the disciples' faces when Jesus said those words. They probably had the same puzzled look that they had whenever Jesus said other things that seemed a bit strange. You see, Jesus is in essence offering himself to them, the bread of heaven, the bread of life. But in their minds, all they see is ordinary bread. Something on the table baked fresh every day on every Jewish household's table. Something that would satisfy their hunger for a little while. So how could this bread possibly be Jesus' body? We could say the same, ask the same question here today, couldn't we? How can this bread on our table this morning, this bread made from ordinary flour, ordinary yeast, and other ingredients, purchased at any store, be Jesus' body? How can this be? At communion, when the bread and the cup are consecrated, it's still bread and juice. But when the Holy Spirit of God descends on it, in the words of institution, they become holy and life-giving symbols. And then when we partake of them, by faith and in humility, we're not just eating bread and drinking juice. We are, in a sense, feasting upon Jesus. The meal that we are about to share in just a few moments should do for us what other memorable meals have done for us. I bet you all, when you get together for Thanksgiving or Christmas or Easter dinner or birthdays and anniversary dinners, you talk about the past, don't you? Don't you think about Christmases and Thanksgivings and Easters and vacations and whatnot previously? And probably you talk about those and honor those who are no longer with you at the table. I know when we do, we talk about a lot about Grandma Daisy. And we talk about Dad, who died far too young. And they're being missed every time we get together as a family. This meal should also cause us to remember some things about Jesus. After all, Jesus is the one who said, "Do this in remembrance of me," did he not? Until he returns. Remember that what he did for us was the atoning sacrifice. It reminds us that the blood that flowed from his nail-pierced body as he offered himself up is our redemption and cleansing for our sins. Can you smell the grace this morning, folks? I want to close with a story that I ran across in preparation for this message. A story I'd never heard about, something I'd never heard about before. It comes from a book called The Iowa Parables. The Iowa Parables. A little over 100 years ago, in August of 1900 now. It's 112 years ago. More than 250 hobos, bums, tramps, and freeloaders came to a little town in Iowa, northwest Iowa, called Britt, Iowa. They gathered all these hobos, bums, and freeloaders to eat free food, to drink free beer, to stay in free accommodations, to play games, and they even drew up, get this, a political candidate to run in the 1900 presidential election at this convention. I'm talking about a tradition that's still going on today. You can look it up on the internet. The National Hobo Convention of Britt, Iowa. How about that? and the people of Britt, Iowa have been inviting hobos, bums, and freeloaders back to Britt, Iowa every year for over 100 years. Not because they deserve it, not because they've earned it. They get their free food and drink and special treatment because they are who they are. Hobos, bums, and freeloaders. Now, there are all kinds of conventions. Some of you have been on conventions before. Some of you have been to conferences, and they're all over the world. But I don't think there's any like the National Hobo Convention in Britt, Iowa, that opens its doors and gives them this free gift to hobos who haven't worked. Some of them are lazy. Most of them are lazy, crude, dirty, dishonest. Some of them have been arrested in the freight yards around the railroad yards, chased out of public parks, and some of them arrested for vagrancy. But in Britt, Iowa, for one weekend a year, they're treated like kings. For a brief time, they're loved for who they are. Fellow human beings who celebrate their humanity with one another one weekend a year. Can you smell the grace, church? Can you smell the grace? Today, Jesus invites us to come to the table. All things are ready. And we come, just like those hobos go to Britt, Iowa every year. Not because we deserve it, not because we've earned it, but because it's a free gift to us. Like it or not, we come to this supper not deserving it, but accepting it. We come to this banquet prepared for us, this banquet of grace, to celebrate God's victory over sin and death. We come to celebrate our common humanity in Christ, invited by Christ to come and to eat and drink, not because we're great, but because of God's great love for us. We come even though we're sometimes lazy in our following Jesus, aren't we? We come even though we're dirty, we're stained by sin, and been dishonest with God and with each other. But guess what? Christ still invites us to the table. He accepts us just as we are at His table. We come as forgiven sinners, nourished, renewed, and refreshed by Christ. We come not as perfect people, but people going on to perfection, in the words of Wesley. Christ's love and forgiveness are represented here at this table today through the symbols of bread and juice. Can you smell the grace, church? Can you smell the grace? Jesus assures us of this when He says, "This is my body. This is my blood given for you." The bread and the cup are physical reminders of God's great love for us. And as we leave this place today, we're reminded of God's love, God's grace, and we actually take a piece of Jesus to go with us. Symbols of God's love and forgiveness. So I invite you and the children to come to the table, to feast at this banquet, to smell the grace as you come up here and smell this wonderful bread. Come as people who are celebrating and remembering the great love of God in Christ Jesus. Amen.